Welcome to another episode of Kung Fu Conversations. Just your good buddies, Owen and Randall, for another episode talking about all kinds of stuff. Let's go ahead and go through our role. So we are Kung Fu Conversations. You can email us at KF Conversations. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook. You can listen to our episodes on Spotify, Applecast, anywhere you find a podcast, as well as we have a YouTube channel. We are Owen Schilling and Randall Davis. Owen Schilling of Boulder Internal Arts. Owen, tell us what you have out there so we can contact you.
The best way to reach me is either through the Boulder Internal Arts Instagram, or you can reach me through my blog at BoulderInternalArts.com.
And I am Randall Davis at Red Force Chinese Boxing, where I teach Wong Q lineage of Wing Chun. And you can reach me on Instagram, or I have a Facebook page. And you can also support our show over at Buy Me a Coffee. Our handle over there is Kung Fu Con Pod. That is Kung Fu Con Pod. And I am working today. I'm going to do some shout outs, and then you've got some great news about our show as far as listenership status, but let me do some shout outs real quick. Later on today, I'm going to be working on our new t-shirt company that we're going to be working with. I'll tell everyone about that and tag us when all of that gets done. But one of our guys behind the scenes at Kung Fu Conversations is my awesome roommate, Sam. Shout out to Sam. Thank you for helping us so much. You've helped us quite a bit with a few things. Another one is Spencer Nutella. You can find Spencer Nutella on Instagram at Goju Spencer.
And yeah, he did
all the awesome artwork for our show. And then last but not least, I don't think I've ever mentioned this person, which I'm ashamed of. Our awesome original opening theme song is called A Walk Through the Red Forest. And it was produced and made by my friend, Alden Groves. You can find Alden Groves over on Spotify or on Bandcamp, either as Alden Groves, A-L-D-E-N, Groves, G-R-O-V-E-S, and support him and his music journey. He moved from Colorado 3 years ago to make it big in New York. But before he left, he made us our original piece of music, which everyone always talks about. His other handle that he goes by is Evoke, E-V-O-K-E. And you can check out Alden Groves and all of his amazing music. I also have a couple of shows to shout out to. I've got a shout out to the Martial Arts Mania podcast with my friends AJ and Gavin. Those guys have an amazing show. If you watch martial arts movies, which who doesn't? AJ and Gavin will break down a movie, and not only do they talk about what's going on in the martial arts movies, but they also know a ton of information and behind the scenes stuff. And so those guys are super knowledgeable, but they've mentioned our show a few times. So I wanted to say thank you to them. And another show that's mentioned us a few times is a new addition, that I started listening to, the Formless podcast. So I wanted to thank those guys, and, thanks for helping get our show out there. And Owen, could you tell us what's going on with our show? You had some numbers and stats that I thought were absolutely mind boggling. Could you share that with the group?
Yeah, good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, sort of the, Spotify at the end of the year provides some analytics and some statistics, about, you know, your podcast. So as I was going through this today, we found there was really, really fascinating stuff. And I just wanted to kind of share that with the audience. And, you know, so essentially 80% of our audience has found us in the last year, which is just absolutely spectacular and fantastic. Where, you know, I can't even tell you how awesome that is. And we're how excited we are about it. The number one episode that we had, in this last year was our episode of the interview that we did with Sonny Mannon. And it was by far our biggest one. So thanks and shout out to Sonny for that. And thanks for all the listeners, you know,
absolutely
really makes a big, big difference for us. And we value everybody. And sort of last but not least, two more points. We hit 20,000 listens on Spotify. That is
so mind blowing. I think it was 6,000 the first year. And you and I were so blown away because, and I need to tell the audience something. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, Owen. So you're on the know now.
Uh-oh.
Our show has been grown organically. I have not paid a dime, neither has Owen, to advertise our show. There are places on Instagram. There are ways on Facebook that I can pay a little bit of money and it shares it to tens of thousands of people. There's even ways to do it on like Spotify, Applecast, and YouTube. But we've never advertised. This has all been word of mouth. And so first off, we need to thank the audience for that. And second, please feel free to tag us and share. And even if you don't agree with the episode, tag us and share. You know, there are some times that I'll listen back to some of our older episodes and I'm like, do I still believe that? So, you know, we're not going to be offended. We're pretty thick-skinned martial artists as well as human beings. So if you don't agree with us on something, first off, don't be afraid to share it with us. And two, go ahead and tag it and share it and be like, ah, these guys are full of shit over here on this episode. But this episode is really, really good. So share those as well. And thank you.
And I was going to mention that, you know, while we're talking about sharing, that our most shared episode was the interview you did with Kevin Secours. And that is, that's really cool. It was a great interview. And, it was exciting to see something that was a little bit outside of our wheelhouse get shared so much.
That's amazing too. You know,
what a great guy.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I actually shared that information with Sonny today and Coach Kevin Secours, and they both said anytime you wanted us back on the show, to come on back. Maybe it could be a topic or things like that. And that might be something that we do in the future. I've got some ideas on round robin stuff. Owen and I are always trying to make the show a little bit better for the audience. And, you know, it's a little tough because, you know, we're 9-to-5 guys. But that being said, I think for 9-to-5 guys and growing this show organically, one, we have to thank the audience for helping share our show. And two, we have a great time doing it. We really do. And I think it's as much fun interviewing people as sharing ideas and chewing on topics just between Owen and myself. So I really enjoy both sides of our show. So yeah.
Yep. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for helping in any way, shape, or form. And we really appreciate your listening. And, 2020, we got some good stuff in 2024 coming up and we're really excited about it. So, you know, keep listening.
Absolutely. So our topic for the day is, will Chinese martial arts be here in 100 years? And why don't I start, Owen? So I'll give you something that you can throw across, that you can throw across the screen at me. I think it will be. I think there will be small pockets that train it with an understanding of forms. The amount of people that can take the forms and have the drills, do the two-man person work, and make it applicable for combat will continue to dwindle. I really believe that. I think one of the things that will change that maybe is older generations being more open to share, as well as technology. Technology might help in that curve. Now, another one, and I'm not going to share the guest. I don't want to spill the beans, but another one might be, you know, Sanda really doesn't look like Chinese Kung Fu, does it? It's been called Chinese kickboxing. And so I really love Sanda. I think it's super effective. I think it's great for a combat sport, and I think it can be married very well into practical application for street defense. I think what's great about something like Sanda is it's a great place to check out your skills, and you can dial it up and you can dial it down. But does it look like they're doing Hunga out there? Does it look like they're doing Choi Li Foot out there? Does it look like they're doing Tongbei or Seven Star Praying Mantis? Mm-hmm. You know? So my question is, do we use a template like Sanda and say, okay, all the Northern Mantis guys can use three or four moves that are distinct to maybe Seven Star? Maybe the Seven Star guys get together and they're like, we've got these six moves that are very much ours. So why don't we try to marry that into a Sanda format? Or the Wing Chun guys are like, okay, we can use these 10 moves even with padded gloves on. What would that be and how would that look? This is just some ideas and some thoughts and some opinions and things like that. But that might be one way to do it. I think karate has a slight advantage to the Chinese arts in like a competitive ring one-on-one fighting scenario. And it looks like, you know, when they spar, even Taekwondo to a point, it looks like that system. It looks like Taekwondo. It looks like karate. The Chinese martial arts, a little less so. And then I guess maybe a question would be, is that because these systems don't really have a good sparring strategy or system to them? But but the reason I bring all these things up are I think these are ways that these classical Chinese martial arts are going to have to transition to have another generation and another generation and another generation continue to find interest in them. I don't know. What do you think about some of that stuff, Owen?
Well, you know, I think it's a sort of a big, complicated topic, and we could probably have several different podcasts on this if we were to like really drill down. But
we probably will too, hopefully.
I know, it's totally possible. We'll just continue the conversation, right? But, you know, I think that to sort of rhetorically answer the question that we asked at the beginning, yes, I think Chinese martial arts will be around. Now, what state will they be in? Mm. How will they be practiced? What will it look like? What will its popularity be?
Yeah.
You know, that's up for grabs, and that's a challenge, to sort of, you know, forecast what the future looks like in that way. But I mean, if you look at the way things are now, it's challenging, to be totally honest, you know, and I think a lot of traditional martial arts are experiencing this, but I think Chinese martial arts in general is really, it's challenging. If you're in a certain type of, how do I say this? If you're in a certain niche in Chinese martial arts, I think it's a little bit easier to run a school, say, or have, and maybe not a full-time school, but, you know, I was thinking of, the Kung Fu Genius, you know, and he has a very sort of successful school and he works his ass off to make that happen.
Absolutely. But,
you know, and he deserves all the success that he finds with that. But it's encouraging when you can see somebody like that. Now, I think the art also sort of lends itself to that level of success. Cause a lot of people, you know, when you sort of scratch the surface of Bruce Lee, you'll come up with Wing Chun and then people get interested, you know, and Bruce Lee's always sort of
that's a great point.
The flagship in that way for that particular art. And a lot of people, you know, it's really, I think, had kind of a resurgence with the Donnie Yen movies and the Ip Man movies over the last like 10 years or so, for better, for worse. You know, I think that there's been an increased amount of interest in Wing Chun. And I don't know if we'll ever see, like a Choi Li Foot movie or a, you know, a Hunga or a Hung Kyun type of movie come out. At least it's like sort of popular, worldwide as opposed to, maybe in China, you know, you might see that kind of stuff.
Well, they've made a few Wong Fei Hung movies, but you know,
I love those movies.
Like that. I do too, but
those are great
movies.
They're
not doing Hunga in those movies. I mean,
no, they're not.
It's definitely Wushu. And then all of a sudden you see him break out and do a tiger crane stance.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That, no, that's a little bit. But well, I guess you could say the same thing for the Yip Man movies. So,
that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. You know, so it's always where sort of reality meets, Hollywood or the movies. And in that way, I think that that's where it might be experiencing its biggest loss because, you know, the expectation that's being set on the screen visually people have a certain expectation, even with Ip Man or Wing Chun, what's this going to look like? Oh, it looks like that. It looks like Donnie Yen doing that. And then they go out and they see it. Or, you know, for something like, Michael, I know that the Grandmaster had been pretty popular and there was a few, or I mean, you can even bring that back and start talking about, The Last Airbender, right? I've had people show up in my class who thought that that's what the thing was. Like, oh, well, no, I want to do, they didn't say airbending because they'd done at least enough homework to figure out that it was Bagua.
Sure.
But the reality turned out to be that what they were seeing is not what they were getting. And it's for the simple fact that, like, I think a lot of people have this confusion around, like, what they see visually. They think they can just sort of do it. And sure. that's the thing. Oh, I can just walk around in a circle and I can just keep my arms out. And all of a sudden I'm doing Bagua, you know, I joke that people are just sort of flapping their arms and legs around and walking around in a circle. And then they think they're doing Bagua, which is, so far from the truth, I can't even begin to get into that. But as an aside, the way that I see things going, at least at my level as a teacher, and then sort of in the larger culture, I think it's tough. It's a tough sell.
Now I got a question for you, and I'm going to pick on you a little bit because you're bringing up Bagua, and this kind of is a topic that we bring up a lot. A lot of other shows I've heard in the Kung Fu realm bring this topic up a lot too. Mm-hmm. Are they looking at it and could they be passed on to a Wushu school that does Bagua? Because there's competition forms that are Bagua.
Sure.
That look nothing like what you teach.
Yes.
But and I was going to say they
certainly look more like what you're going to see on TV. You're going to see in the movie. You're going to see, and that's the sort of the standard Chinese wushu forms, the competition wushu forms. Yeah, that's definitely that's what it looks much more like that. But the problem is even from sort of just a basic, I'm going to learn that form standpoint, those wushu athletes, they work their asses off.
Sure.
And so I just look at the level of interest and input, and, you know, you just, it takes years of work to get to the level where you're going to start to even look like, whether it's traditional or whether it's, you know, competition wushu and people say it's Bagua. And that way I kind of look at it and I go, well, it doesn't really matter because the amount of work is immense. And I don't think a lot of people are prepared for that these days. I don't see a lot of that.
So that's so weird because we're talking about 100 years into the future and hypothetical, but maybe some of the preservation factors are happening now. And that is the breakdown of what Chinese martial arts is into their respective weird different fields. You know, you've got the guys that are like, oh, I want to be like a Taoist monk or something like that.
Mm-hmm,
you can go to Wudong and learn that over there. I want to do Shaolin. Okay, you go over to Shaolin and you do that over there. I want to do Sanda. Well, there's a sport fighting aspect of Chinese martial arts. I want to do authentic, classical, traditional Chinese martial arts, whatever the hell that is. And okay, well, then you're going to have to find somebody in a lineage, and then – maybe even lineage aside, because sometimes that can be overemphasized. Mm-hmm. How are they training? What does their class look like? You know, do the beginning students, they're going to look like beginners, but does it look like they have a task that they're working on to get better? And can you tell a wide margin between the students that have been there a long time and the newer beginning students. That sounds weird, but I've gone to classes where people have been there for decades and they don't look that much better than someone that's been there for a year or two. So, so I look at those different things. And so maybe, and then you've got your wushu side of things too. You know, I've talked to and worked with people that practice wushu as well as traditional martial arts, you know, and so maybe one leads to another. So maybe the breakdown of different areas of interests and talking about Chinese martial arts, maybe breaking it into multiple categories might be a way to preserve it. But if we keep breaking it down and breaking it down and breaking it down into subcategory A, subcategory B, subcategory C, and then those categories have subcategories, when does it stop in that breakdown becoming Chinese martial arts?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I don't know. It's tough to answer in the same way that the initial question itself is tough to answer, because it's sort of going to be dependent on how it shakes out. I think that most Chinese kung fu, and I don't know, to a certain extent, at least in my experience, this has always kind of been, the truth, is so much of Chinese kung fu has sort of a mystical element to it, I guess. For better or for worse, I think people come to kung fu because they have some sort of idea that it's going to create some kind of superpower, or it's going to do, you know, there's going to be some aspect to it that's going to provide them with something that maybe they feel they're missing or they are missing in their lives. And it revolves around it's just like a kung fu movie, you know, you go and you meet the master and then you do this certain training and you read this certain scroll or you do something or other. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're like, you know, you're the last airbender. You're that guy or whatever. And I think the harsh reality is that, like you were just saying, there's, you know, you go to a school and you'll see a student that's been there for years and years. And you'll see another student that's been there for a lot less time. And maybe that student who's been there for less time is better. And I think that comes down to, you know, how much work you're going to put in. Because what it's all about. If you have a good teacher who's willing to teach, then the other part of that is you got to be a good student. And the student's got to be, you know, willing to learn and willing to put in the time, and they've got to be willing to train. And I think that's a really, really, really important point.
You know, what's interesting about that, Owen, is now I'm going to say something, because this is going to get real generalized, and this is a personal opinion because that's what we share.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be somebody that finds Chinese martial arts. I think it's going to be a lot of these weirdos that are looking for something to practice, and it just happened to be Chinese martial arts. I'm talking about these super hobbyists. Like yourself and myself.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, like me.
Yeah, exactly. But someone that's willing to put in, I got a couple hours today. I got 4 hours today. I've got 20 minutes today, but I'm doing daily practice, you know, somebody like that. And I think there will be people out there that are driven to pick something up, whether it be a guitar, whether it be Indian clubs, whether it be painting. And whatever that medium is they pick up, they might be like, well, there was a kung fu school 3 blocks from me. I went in, I saw the class, I liked it. I liked the other students and I liked the instructor. That just happened to be what brought me on this road 45 years later. And I practice daily. I think there'll be these weird little niche-y people that are drawn to it and might not even be kung fu people. They just, they need it. They want to practice. They want a practice. It just happens to be Chinese kung fu. It could have been yoga. But it could have been something else.
Then my question around that is that enough for the arts to survive in 100 years?
Yeah, that's really it too. And that I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at least from what I see, it's because I mean, to really get good, it takes so much time and so much dedication, that, you know, you really, it's like having a second job sometimes. Like when you're really, true. When you're really putting in like the real time, that's kind of what it turns into. And I meet so many single people or people who don't have children who are involved in these arts. And I see why, you know, and it's not an exclusionary thing, obviously, because there's tons of people out there who have children and all sorts of lives and they still come to class and they still do the thing. But, you know, they're still out there and they're still training and learning and all of that. But, yeah, you know, I think that there's always a particular person or type of personality type, maybe, that comes to class and puts in the time.
So I got one for you. Maybe 100 years from now, it's going to be what lenses you're looking through. A little bit like I was saying that the arts are broken into sport category, you know, martial category, you know, lineage category, you know, mountain monk are you training under category? So maybe if it's still alive, it will be what lens are you looking through? Because we can talk about today, you can go to some people and say Chinese martial arts are dead. They'll say that today. You know what sure. I mean? And there's still people out there putting in the effort and everything to be like, fucking Chinese martial arts are dead. It's a thing of the past. You know what I mean? So some of it might be the lens that you're looking through that, you know, will determine whether or not you think, Chinese martial arts will be dead or has a road to the future for the next generations.